Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Welcome to Becoming Heisenberg. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for Breaking Bad on AMC and Netflix. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How is it going?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Excellent. This is for season 3, episode 6, called Sunset. David, what did you think of this one?
I enjoyed this episode. It's the first episode of sort of setting Walt onto his new reality, because it's his first day cooking in the lab. It's this sort of, it's like the first day of a new job, basically, and that's sort of how he's treating it in the show, which is, I like the fact that he's there kind of making sandwiches and he's kind of getting dressed and he's treating it as though it is like his first day of school, you know. I like the way that they sort of did that, of like he's treating it like any other job, you know. So you've got all that going on. You've got some good stuff with the cousins in there as well. That ending with Gus, and it's always great to see Gus in again. You've got stuff with Jesse and the boys and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it covers a lot. It's a really nice sort of, it almost feels like the starting of a new chapter to the story.
I get what you mean. I was saying to you just before we started recording that, so this is season 3, episode 6, which I would say is the halfway point of the whole series, but I think I remember saying that before, and I don't know why I would have said that before, which is strange. But anyway, this is roughly halfway through season 3, and obviously season 3 is the middle one. See, some people say Breaking Bad's got 6 seasons. I would argue against that. It's just got 2 halves of season 5, but yes. Anyway, there we go. I thought this episode was excellent. It's interesting from a rewatch standpoint because this is the episode I remember the least about. Like, as we were going through it, or as I was going through it, I really couldn't remember what was going to happen next, which was really interesting. Especially when that, because we've said that's one thing that when that comes up, it's kind of strange and in a good way. But this was the one that was most like that. And maybe it's like you said, maybe this is kind of, because this is almost part of like a new chapter, as you said, which I agree with. Clear as day, I can remember certain things that happened from now onwards. It was just this particular episode. It was interesting, but lots and lots of really good stuff happening. Things get very, very close. Obviously, you've got Hank being a few meters
or however you describe it, from Walt, but not knowing it at all, and you've got all that
Yeah.
going on. Like he's literally on the other side of the door for the RV. Jesse coming back, I thought was great. There's some interesting stuff there going on with how he is handling his addiction and being around other people. That was quite good. Gus is always great and entertaining. There's a few like mannerism changes from him as well. I noticed in the when he goes to speak to the cousins, and he talks to I think it's not Francesco, it's somebody else, the one that he works with, and he's like got the friendly Gus thing going on, then switches when he talks to them, and he's like, what do you want, kind of thing. That was pretty great. But and I won't say obviously what's going to happen next. The end of this episode happened, and I thought, oh, I remember what happens in the next one. Next one's a really, really good
Yeah.
episode and a really big pivotal part of the show. So that will be great to get to as well. but no, lots of great things in this episode. We'll talk about them in the recap in a moment. Let's do some housekeeping, and then we'll get to that said recap. See you in a minute. All right, so it's been a busy old week on Entertainment Talk. Why is that, you may be asking? Got some announcement news, which is that Classic Reviews Season 6 is coming soon. I have completed recording the 6 episodes, just a little bit of like a teaser, I suppose. There will be 3 films and 3 seasons of TV. Well, I guess 3 TV shows, but 3 seasons of TV, so 6 episodes, apart from a little sort of preview to come later. And there is a season 6 rankings as well. I did explain a little human error I made during the process of that, but that will be coming. I haven't decided an actual date yet because I want to see what happens, the rest of the year and stuff. It will be around about Christmas time, which, yes, I may have done it very early, but I did it way too late last year. So I decided to use some of this summer break and do that. So that's pretty good. So they're all ready to go, basically, the podcast, but I'm going to release them later. I just don't have a specific date yet because we don't know what's going to be going on in December. It'll be sort of December crossing into January is the idea. I used to do them as like summer seasons, but that changed in the last couple of years. But that's coming soon. I did a football podcast this week. It's called Discussing the Saudi Football Situation. There's a lot of money being exchanged between Saudi clubs and footballers, and I discussed all that situation. And there's all this talk of like, oh, it's creating the Super League, and it's this and it's that. I view the situation very, very differently. I described all of that on that podcast, but it all started with Cristiano Ronaldo going over to Al Nassr, getting 2 million a week, which is just wow. But all that sort of situation. There's loads and loads and loads of players that have gone over there since. But there's yeah, that's going on at the moment. What do you think of what's going on with the Saudi football situation, I suppose?
Inevitable conclusion to football as a whole. I mean, you've got a lot of overpaid prima donnas that are just going after the money. So, I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah, see, David gets it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's all that going on. Over on the United cast, we had a important, possibly final. There's some weird stuff going on with this. Mason Greenwood, who of course was accused of domestic violence and whatnot 18 months ago. The club suspended him. I'm giving you the very short version of the story here. He was suspended pending, obviously, a very long investigation. These things take a long time. Charges were dropped in February of this year, and then it was handed over to the club to decide what to do. The club has mutually decided with Mason Greenwood to let him go. But in all 3 statements from Richard Arnold, the club, and Mason Greenwood himself, all say that he didn't do what he supposedly did, but they're letting him go, which is a very, very strange thing to say. And everyone is very confused by what's going on, and it feels like there's something else that's maybe going to happen. But that's the situation with that. I can't give you any more information than that. So we shall see. We shall see. But he has said to have left the club at the moment. Over on the United cast, we lost 2-0 to Tottenham. Some very, very disappointing goals that we let in the second half. Could have scored a lot of goals in the first half. We need to be a lot more clinical. And we next play Nottingham Forest on Saturday. So there's that. Over on Gaming Talk this week, We talked about Starfield going gold. There's also various, YouTube people and that kind of stuff have been getting codes for Starfield so that they can play it in time to get a review out of some sense for the embargo. Call of Duty is going retro as well, adding all 16 Modern Warfare 2 maps to Modern Warfare 3 when that comes out later this year. And we also talked about The Walking Dead. It's got a choice-driven game, like a what-if style game coming out as well. So that's interesting. Breaking Bad podcast from last week did a light must-see review for Gran Turismo, the film based on the game and based on the true story as well. So that was good to do. And yeah, that's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. A police officer is out somewhere in the desert and finds a woman who's been reported missing but finds her dead. Eventually coming across one of the cousins, sorry, coming across the cousins, one of which sneaks behind him and kills him very casually, very, very casually with an axe.
But yes.
I mean, everything these guys do is just very
Fairly
casual.
casual, yeah.
Yeah, usually, even with scenes when a police officer's saying like surrender, put your hands up. Not every character's going to panic, but it would be sometimes where let's say you've got a more capable, confident character, and they'll just act differently to this. Like no other characters really on television act like this, and it is very cool and very mysterious, and that's sort of the aim with them. But the way he sort of, puts his hands up, turns around, and all that, he knows the other guy's behind him because he knows that, and he can see him anyway. He kills him, and then he just slowly takes a bite of this fruit, and then you cue the credits. So this is obviously telling us that they're still out there, they're still on the way to do what they're trying to do. It's a good little way to start the episode. Again, it's not one of Breaking Bad's sort of weird, mysterious cold opens. It doesn't always do that, but yeah, it was quite good. And again, I couldn't remember if this person was alive or dead. I couldn't remember that the cousins were there. Eventually, when they showed like the person walking past, and then their score kicked in, I was like, ah, okay, here we go. But that was quite cool. As I said, I think last time. The cousins were in one of the episodes. The way their score sort of kicks in to a scene is really, really quite effective and quite good. So yeah, good opening. What do you think?
I had absolutely zero memory of this at all as well. There are bits of this I can't, this episode, like you were saying earlier, there are little bits that I do remember from this episode, but I had no recollection of this opening scene at all. But yeah, it was cool. It's nice to see the cousins. We do actually get to hear the cousins speak at one point in this episode as well. They very, very briefly. I think that they've got like five lines, I think, between the pair of them across the entire course of the series. But yeah, we get one of those lines this week. But yeah, the way that they react, and they're just sort of, when they're faced with somebody pointing a gun at them, it's just, yeah, really interesting characters, these two. And yes, solid opening, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Walter White settles into his new surroundings and takes a liking to his new lab assistant, Gale. Yes, we're introduced to Gale in this particular episode. Jesse Pinkman shows his meth to Badger and Skinny Pete and enlists them to enter the drug trade alongside him again, promising that they will not make the same mistake which got Combo killed. The two reluctantly agree. Meanwhile, Hank is now conducting surveillance, literally right outside, on Jesse due to his connection with Combo. We saw the little connecting piece, excuse me, that last week. Believing that the RV of Combo's mother is in his possession, he receives a call from Marie, who suggests that he ask Walt about it due to Walt's previous connection with Jesse. Hank takes her advice and calls Walt, asking him if he can recall Jesse owning an RV. Instantly alarmed, Walt realizes that he must now dispose of the RV before Hank can find it, and so kicks off the rest of the episode. just going back to Gale for a second. Yeah, it he's got kind of an interesting story. we'll talk about, I guess we'll talk a bit more about that in the later Gale scenes. There's all like the science talk and that kind of stuff, which I thought was quite good. Yeah, again, we have an email a bit later about Hank as well. He's just trying to get his job done. And yeah, it's interesting to see. And you see, obviously, the call from Marie, and she's like, are you ever coming home? And we get this little shot of lots and lots of just like food and drink wrappers and all this kind of stuff. Like, he's just been going through drive-throughs a lot and, you know, getting stuff ordered and whatever. And he's just been camping there outside his house. But that's Hank. He's very, very determined. Hank doesn't really back down from things. And it's interesting to see. Just on Jesse and that for a minute, it's been very interesting, his arc over these last sort of three, four episodes, maybe, when he sort of came back into the picture. Obviously, the first couple of episodes was him listening to Jane's voicemail and that, and being sort of understandably broken from the situation. Then he goes to rehab, then comes back, and I do like, though, that Badger and Skinny Pete, they say, like, hey, is it okay if I do this in front of you? And he's like, yeah, I can't remember exactly what he said, but sort of, I'm not consuming, but I'm just distributing and cooking. But that doesn't feel, again, I don't know very much about, you know, addiction and things like that, apart from, honestly, what I've seen on TV and stuff. But he does seem, and obviously this is, you know, fictional when it's written and it's scripted, so there's going to be a certain way it's going to go. But yeah, the way he handled that was very interesting, and it didn't seem to be any sort of flinch of, because they cut the camera over to him when I think it's Badger that's actually taking this meth, because Skinny Pete's just like talking about it and stuff. And they cut the camera over to Jesse a couple of times, and he doesn't even seem to be, at least the reading I got from him, again, my experience with this is, you know, different to other people's. There didn't seem to be any sort of flinching or any kind of, like, fidgeting. Because the way I've seen sort of drug characters portrayed, I know it's a bit different. There's a storyline similarly going on in Hollyoaks at the moment. And that character in that show, who's, like, basically was in Jesse's situation before going to rehab, but actually a lot worse. And this character on the show, she's called Donna Marie on Hollyoaks at the moment, and she's doing a lot of sort of like scratching and fidgeting and flinching and, you know, things like that. Jesse seems to be the totally opposite. Like, he seems very, I mean, there might be a little bit of something going on in there, but he seems very, very kind of put together. And honestly, seeing both these two storylines, I know obviously this one's a lot older, this Breaking Bad one, seeing the two of them is quite interesting to see, honestly, polar opposites of what can sort of, the sort of physical state of a person like that. So that's just my kind of insight on it anyway. Not that I don't have much insight to offer, but that's what I've got to offer for that. What do you think of, particularly with Jesse, what do you think about what's going on with him here?
Certainly, well, with Jesse, very much depends at what stage. He's been through rehab, and you know there's a reason why they say that people are always in recovery when they're addicts, because you know there is always the chance that they can lapse back. But I think it depends where his mind is at that point, and you know, I think it's one of those things that, when it comes to addiction, it is a mental shift to stop it. You know, you need to get to a point. You know, they talk about people reaching rock bottom before they actually get help, and there is a certain amount of truth to that. But it's not always just that. It's, there needs to be something that will shunt you out of it. In a lot of cases, you know, there needs to be a reason for you to stop. And once you've actually stopped and got some of the help, it is possible to get to a point where, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you're okay going out to parties where people are drinking. You know, it is, and I mean, I imagine it is similar for people in situations with drunks as well, with these sort of drugs as well. I mean, I think the point where he's at the moment, he's not necessarily particularly interested in getting high right now. What he's focused on is making the drugs and selling them and making money, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So I think that is the difference at this point. It depends where he is at mentally. And in some respects, getting out of that hole is the worst bit of it. You know, like, well, you're talking about the character in Hollyoaks. That's somebody that is in withdrawal,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Jesse will have been through all of that. And he's sort of out the other side. That doesn't mean that he will never go back to it, because that is always a risk at some point. But it is possible to be able to sort of be in a situation where you can sort of separate the cooking side of it from the partaking in it, in the same way that, like I say, if you're an alcoholic, you can, you know, it is possible to go to parties where people are drinking and not drink yourself. You know, so
yeah,
you can get to that point. It is possible.
Yeah.
But with the rest of this, I mean, it's nice to see Gail show up. David Constable, who's the guy that plays Gail in this, I'm actually also watching on Billions, because he plays Wags in Billions as well.
Oh, cool.
And he's brilliant. Very, very different character in that. But he's brilliant in that show as well. He was in Suits as well. That was the other thing. And he was in The Wire, I believe. Pops up in The Wire as well. But yep. So, yes, been lots of different things. But I love that guy. He's great, particularly as Wags in Billions. But lovely to see him back in here as well. He's an interesting character.
That's quite a good CV. The Wire, Billions, Breaking Bad.
Suits, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Not a bad CV, is it?
Yeah, I mean, if you make it onto a HBO show or Breaking Bad, you've hit, you know, pretty much the peak. Or, well, you've been on one of the best things, so.
Yeah, I mean, the Kirsten Ritter... basically credits Breaking Bad for the reason why she got Jessica Jones. So,
yeah,
that's
fair. Yeah. What do you think of the Hank parts here?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that after the information he found out about last week, it makes sense that he'd go and sit outside Jesse's house. You know, he's still hunting down this RV. And... of course, why wouldn't you call Walt to ask him the question of, like, hey, do you remember that kid? Do you remember him having an RV? Because, I mean, that's an obvious thing to kind of call and ask and check, not knowing who Walt is, you know? So, all makes perfect sense.
The cousins show up at Los Pollos Hermanos and sit in a booth, growing increasingly impatient and angry that Gus Fring is still... standing in the way of them carrying out their kit on Walt. Gus eventually confronts them and tells them they will meet them at sunset. This goes across a few different parts of the episode. Again, always great acting from Giancarlo in here as well. Great acting from everybody, but he kind of, you know, stands out. So, yeah. Again, it's that change from him that's interesting when he's talking to... the woman he works with, and because she's arguably almost like more suspicious, because she's the one that keeps asking about it. Gus is the one that sort of, I guess, because Gus doesn't want to make a scene or anything, and he obviously he knows who they are anyway, and she doesn't. And he's just got this, you know, he's trying to just quietly do his work and all that, and you know, he's just giving the look. Like, when Gus decides to talk to you, that's when you know it's a bit more serious. When he's just giving you a look like this, it's just observing, I suppose. But no, a great little setup scene for a pretty big bit of information later in the episode as well. So, what do you think of the restaurant scene?
Yeah, well, you sort of, as you say, come back and forth to this throughout the whole episode. It's sort of, they just sat in this booth and Gus is doing things and he's sort of trying to ignore them and then eventually has to sort of, give in. And because one of he's afraid that one of his workers is going to cause problems. So, but it is that turn. It's that sort of happy, smiley chicken shop owner Gus that the moment, and it's the way Giancarlo's face changes. Like he's sort of happy and sort of sees his worker walk off and then turns to them and his face completely changes. And it does that so well. It's really quite terrifying. It's one of the things that makes that character so terrifying is how he can come across as so sweet and so friendly and then suddenly is like this monster. And it's all with a just a slight change in facial expression. Yeah, it what makes Gus such a terrifying character, I think. But yeah, I think and and this is where we get one of the lines from the cousins, It's yeah, just really good to see this.
Just scrolling through my notes here. Need to make a bit of an editorial situation. There is nothing else in here about Gale and Walter. So if we talk about it before we get to the RV scene, which is actually next, I think
Right.
that makes sense. Because doesn't he have that conversation before he gets to the thing? But
Yeah, I
so
think
that
so. But I mean, yeah, put it in here.
So yeah, they excuse me. So they keep talking about like science and all these kinds of different things. Gail introduces him to his coffee maker. Is an interesting bit in there as well. He tastes his coffee in that, and he's like, "Why are we selling meth?" I was like,
Yeah.
"That's an interesting." Again, I remember the least about this episode apart from all the others that we'd seen so far. But yeah, that was an interesting little. Like, imagine if he turns around to Gus and he's like, "Hey, me and Gail are gonna start selling coffee
Coffee.
instead."
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't part of the deal or part of the plan, I suppose. Because he said was it 3 million for 3 months? But that was for selling meth, not for selling coffee. I know
Yeah.
it's just a little thing that Gail has done. But that was a pretty good little note as well. He doesn't say it's good. He's like, "This is the best coffee he's ever tasted," and
Yeah.
I've no idea how he sort of made it, or whatever. But that was quite cool. It was interesting to see somebody apart because apart from the flashbacks with Gretchen and Elliot, where they talk a bit more sciencey, he hasn't done this with anybody in a while because he won't do this with Tank or with
Yeah.
anybody else in the show. Maybe Gus at a stretch if he's explaining to him how he's got whatever. But this is like. The two of them are on the same field here, and because for Jesse it's more Jesse is not so much about the science; it's more just about the business and stuff, which again is the correlation between the two of them. But I thought most of it was quite good, and I liked as well because he says like, "Hey, you don't kind of strike me as the criminal type," which okay, if you do kind of look at Gale plainly, he doesn't look like a Heisenberg character,
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean,
which I kind of agreed with Walt there, but then he says to him, like, okay, he makes this stuff, and rather than a dealer going somewhere worse or getting a worse product, he can offer them the better one because he cares sort of more about the science is the angle that I got from that. So I thought that was an interesting way to kind of explain that as well. So what was you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, Gail's argument is basically consenting adults are going to get drugs if they want to get drugs. It's a sort of libertarian point of view of people have the idea of the libertarians is basically people should have the right to do, with maximum autonomy as long as as long as you're not sort of a danger to somebody else, they people should be able to go out and do things. Like, if they want to go and take drugs, they can take drugs. You know, they're very much on the sort of point of view of all drugs should be legal, which there is an argument for that. Because criminalizing drug use hasn't gone particularly well. I mean, if you look at the US's war on drugs, it really hasn't gone well for America. Mm. And there is an argument, and there are some countries that have done this, which to say you legalize but control all drugs. Because that way you're not having, and this is sort of the argument that Gail's making, is, you know, if you've got cocaine out there, that's then at least if it's controlled, you can regulate it so it's not being cut with fentanyl or you know, baby powder or whatever else it is that they put in those sort of drugs. You can make sure that the product is decent and clean and well, you know, made. And that's the argument that he's making with the meth, is that, you know, people are going to want to take meth that want to take meth, and they're going to get it regardless of whether it's legal or illegal. So by doing this, I can make sure that the product that is out there is of a good quality, that is not stuffed full of poisons, you know, other than the meth itself, obviously, but, you know, it's not stuffed full of other things that you wouldn't expect in that.
Mm.
So you can take it and know that you are getting a pure product. And that's kind of, that's basically his argument. So I sort of get that, but it's quite nice seeing the sort of back and forth of that discussion going on, and also them nerding out about the science as well, and the coffee maker, which is ridiculous and over the top, but is fantastic. And yeah, the comment about why we're making meth, I really like as well. So
yeah, it's good to continue to see that those small little human more comedy parts from Walt, because they're not going to last forever. I'm just trying to think of like what Walt is like in the final season and towards the end. There's still changes to happen, which is a part of character development and stuff. So that was great. Speaking of Walt, he drives to Clovis's lot, who is fixing up the RV while chatting with Badger. Walt informs him that the DEA is trying to find the RV and that they must get rid of it. Clovis tells him about old Joe, a man who owns a junkyard who will be able to destroy the RV with no questions asked. Badger calls Jesse and tells him that Walt is planning to have the RV destroyed, prompting him to rush to the junkyard, and Hank follows him there. obviously, Jesse doesn't know that's the case anyway, but yeah, there's that going on. So this is kind of the build-up to the big scene, obviously, with Hank and stuff. Yeah, again, I kind of remembered 5% of this.
Yeah.
Maybe. I remembered kind of Hank discovering the bullet holes. I remembered them watching the RV getting crushed. But some of the other parts in here, like what Hank says and other things, I didn't really remember at all, which was, again, very, very interesting. Yeah, what do you think of kind of the build-up to the Hank scene here?
Yeah, I mean, it just fits together so well. You know, you've got these sort of the various characters that we've seen before. You've got some new people in there as well. And yeah, I mean, the RV, I remember the RV had to go at some point. I couldn't remember exactly how it went, because it had become a liability, because the moment Hank realized about the RV, it was at a point where you're like, well, yeah,
he's gonna just keep chasing that thing, yeah, till he gets it. Walt drives the RV to the junkyard and pays old Joe to scrap it. An enraged Jesse suddenly shows up, and Walt, horrified, realizes that he's led Hank right to them. The two lock themselves within the RV while Hank tries to force the door open. Old Joe steps in and tells him that an RV is a domicile and therefore he cannot legally search it without a warrant. Hank relents and phones the DEA office for a warrant. Things quickly Sorry, thinking quickly, Walt comes up with a plan to lure him away. He has Saul Goodman's secretary, Francesca, call Hank to tell him that Maria has been in a car accident and is being rushed to hospital in a critical condition. Hank leaves the junkyard and rushes to the hospital, but soon after he arrives, he receives a call from Marie and realizes that it was all a hoax. Seething with anger and having been fooled, Hank realizes that Jesse was somehow behind it. With Hank gone, old Joe scraps the RV as Walt and Jesse watch solemnly. It's almost like slightly sad, just getting the RV destroyed, but not quite. It was just, it was what it was. What happens to Hank here, I think, is kind of the highlight. It's just the way, when he's on the phone with Marie, and she's just cool, calm, and collected. I would say like nothing's happened, because nothing has actually happened. There's some quick thinking here from Walt, though, because Jesse kind of is just admittedly panicking, which is understandable. But it's because obviously, you know, Walt thinks of, oh, if I call and or get Thingy to call and talk about Marie, that will get him to go away. There is also obviously the other aspect of, okay, we'll distract him from it by telling him, okay, this legal stuff and that he can't break in and all that. I liked as well seeing, admittedly, when Joe's saying to him about warrants and this and that, and you can see Hank being slowly being pulled back, because he gets this realization on his face of like, yeah, he's right, and I can't do this. And then he tries the trick with the bullet holes, and then it's like, oh, how did you know they were there? And that the way Hank gets slowly pulled away, because Hank, although he's very, you know, it's good that he's very dedicated to his job, especially considering what his job is. It was interesting to see him be slowly sort of pulled away. That was quite well done. A little bit, yeah, over the top with the Marie call and that, but obviously they know that Marie's fine. But yeah, it's gonna get probably into a situation of, you know, Walt and Jesse starting to do maybe some more slightly more extreme stuff like this. Again, I didn't remember, because when they got to the scene of him starting to search the RV, I was like, okay, I can't remember how Hank gets pulled away from this. And he starts talking to him about stuff. Then he says about a warrant. And I'm like, okay, how are they going to actually get him away from this? Because I couldn't remember at all. And then, because there's the Marie call, which is weird, because I kind of remember the bit where he freaks out in the hospital, but not how he got there, which was cool. Or that it was even in this episode. But then that sort of connected to that, which was, again, quite good. What do you think of the RV scene here?
I couldn't quite remember how they got out of this, and I didn't remember the Marie call at all. So yes, I rather like that. The RV getting destroyed at the end of it, I mean, presumably they have multiple RVs of the same thing, because it has appeared in flashback, and the RV does if you ever happen to be over in America and do a tour of the Sony studio lot, it is actually, the RV is on the studio lot. You can take pictures with it alongside the Ghostbusters cars. It's like right next to the Ghostbusters cars.
Cool.
So
is there anything else Breaking Bad in there?
No, I think that's the only thing that I saw. There might have been, I can't remember whether they've got some of his, like the hat and the coat and stuff, some of the Heisenberg sort of gear, I think. And I think they possibly have a bag of blue meth on display somewhere from the show. But the RV itself is actually sat on the back lot. So presumably they have multiple versions of it, and they only destroyed one version of it, for the show. But yeah, this is just a great sort of scene throughout, the sort of back and forth of Jesse and Hank, and like Walt feeding Jesse lines that, I mean, Jesse wouldn't be able to come up with on his own, and old Joe being fantastic in there as well. It's just a really nicely put together thing of sort of how they managed to get out of that. and scrapped the RV. So it's now gone. So whilst I remember some of the scenes, some of the episodes or bits of the episode coming up, I can't quite remember what Jesse does next. So I'm be interested to see that.
Because, Hank's going to be gunning for him. He already was anyway, but... and it's so interesting that, like... Because he has no reason to think Walt is involved at all.
No.
Even though he's right there and he's involved with Jesse, but... Yeah, the differences in approaches that he's going to be having between Walt and Jesse is, it's such an interesting way to do that story. And it is a good idea, I suppose, from the start to have him related to Hank and have that be a problem for him in the series, the brother-in-law side. So, very, very good. Gus meets with the cousins at sunset in a remote location. It's always in the desert somewhere. He tells them again that he will not allow them to kill Walt until his business with him has concluded, but gives them his blessing to go ahead instead go after the man who actually pulled the trigger on Tuco Salamanca, which is Hank Schrader. So you've got that to add to the pile as well for yeah. Hank. He's got the cousins after him, which is very, very bad. This tells you two things. This tells you where the cousins are going to be going next, and they've been diverted essentially, which they're fine with. They just want to kill people. and they're looking for someone to, a target. This also tells you where Gus is at with Walt and what he thinks of, like, because to me that tells me, okay, once he's done with his 3 months, which is what he's getting the cousins to wait for. Obviously, they're not going to actually sit around and wait for 3 months, which is why they wanted to talk to Gus in the first place. He's got on his mind then, apparently, that once, Heisenberg, Mr. White, is done with the 3 months, you can just kill him. Or I'll give you permission after that. Rather than instead saying, like, oh, no, he's really, really, really valuable. We can't get rid of him at all. So yeah, that was kind of an interesting little nugget of information as well. But he has to divert them to Hank at the moment, which again makes sense because of Hank's connections to everything. Plus he's DEA, which, would get in their way and everything. But again, another really, really brilliant scene. Obviously, it's always brilliant with Gus and Giancarlo. A very, very good way to end the episode, and it put into my mind immediately what I think next episode is about. There's a few kind of coming up, one involving a particular insect that I'm really curiously looking forward to going back
yes.
to. So yeah, that'll be great. One that episode has got very different opinions about it as well, and I'm looking forward to us getting to that one.
Yes, it's episode 10, I believe that episode is.
I was looking at the titles and stuff yesterday. What do you think of the ending scene here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a clever ploy by Gus here, because he needs Walt around at least for now, not necessarily forever, because but he needs Walt at least for the next few months, and he needs to get the cousins off his back, so he points them at DEA, and that's quite clever in that the bosses, the cousins' bosses, have basically said the DEA are off limits because they don't want the heat that would bring. But from Gus's point of view, he's fine with it because it's a sort of win-win. Either the DEA kills the cousins, in which case, great, he's not going to deal with them anymore. All the cousins kill the DEA, which brings a huge amount of heat down on that bit of the cartel, but not on him, because they're all going to be focused on that side of the cartel. So it's sort of good for him either way, because he doesn't care about Hank. I mean, why would he? He's, it makes perfect sense to point them at him. So it's a clever play by Gus.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the actual scene where Hank does kill Tuco. That was out in the desert with the car suspension, wasn't it? Where the car was bobbing up and down in
Yeah.
season two, I want to say.
Yes.
Yeah, because at the end of season one, that's when Tuco goes mad one of the first times and makes strikes a deal with Walton and Jesse in that like junkyard, and then yeah, Hank finds him later. And I remember he was trying to like time his shot or something with the car door because he was taking cover. I think I'm remembering it now.
Right,
Yeah. I remember that he did kill him. I just yeah had to think back to that scene. But yeah, it's arguably that okay. Yeah, you should be more after Hank than Walter because yeah. But then you know Walter is the Heisenberg, right? So there we go. All right, it's the end of the episode. Let's get in some feedback, some emails. If you've got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, whatever they are, either about Breaking Bad or any of our other podcasts, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter eTalkUK, and there's information in your show notes. Josh writes in and says, "Hey guys, this is actually my 10th time through the show, so I'm happy to get to my
Jeez.
double digits with you both. You've both praised the acting for Breaking Bad, but who do you think is actually the best?" Whew, that's a tough, tough call. 10th time. Well, happy that you got to celebrate the double digits watch with us then, if that's the case. And hey, there's nothing wrong with watching Breaking Bad multiple times.
No.
It's best for you to watch, do that with a better show rather than watch some other rubbish or something, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely. I sort of want to say Giancarlo, I think. I mean,
Well, I yeah, I mean.
that's not me disrespecting any of the other actors because they're all quite brilliant. But if you are, you know, genuinely asking me to just pick one, he's kind of the one that I point out a little bit more as well. But it's just, again, they're all brilliant. There isn't any bad acting in the show, certainly. There's obviously people that have got smaller roles and things, but that doesn't mean they were performed worse. It's just something about the way he portrays as Gus. And I know, yeah, the way Brian does Heisenberg and all that is really iconic and stuff. It's just the way he can like change his mannerisms and the way he operates, the way he does things. I think I'd go with Giancarlo. How about you? If you were to just pick
Yeah,
one.
it's Giancarlo. If you're gonna go for one particular person, it's Giancarlo. I mean, I love how Brian plays Walt as well, and I think he's great in that role. And it's nice how he manages to flip between sort of the hardness of Heisenberg to the, kind of goofier side of Walt. But Giancarlo is astounding, I think, throughout both this and throughout Better Call Saul. As you said, there are things that he can do with just a look or a slight gesture. And some of that, I mean, he's, as well as great acting, it is great writing, but it's how he plays that character. He's just the looks, the mannerisms, how he can do things without having to say anything. It's an absolutely outstanding performance, and I think if you were going to pick one person out of the show, it's Giancarlo Esposito. I think unquestionably that would be the person that I would go with.
There we go. Harrison says, "I'm someone who's a big gamer and spends more of my entertainment time doing that and only watching the big popular shows. How would you imagine a Breaking Bad game working?" I think somebody asked this to me and Robert, but this was like a good few years ago because obviously that was on the gaming podcast. The only difference is Robert's never actually seen Breaking Bad before. How would a game work? I mean, it depends on, okay, what graphic style do you want to go with? What game type do you want to go with? Are you looking more of a Telltale thing? Are you going with more of a, I mean, I don't think a first person Breaking Bad game would work, so I would rule that out. Like a third person, would it be an action game? It wouldn't really be a cover shooter, so you wouldn't really do that. I think arguably a Telltale style game would work the best because this show is, I mean, yeah, there are some action scenes and some ones that really stand out, but most of the show is driven by the characters' actions and dialogue. It's not really an action series, is it? Like, it's not Not 24 or something. In fact, there is a third-person action game of 24 on the PlayStation 2, and that's very much just you go room to room, Jack says some stuff, you get the ticking clock, and you do some shooting, which suits what 24 sort of is. And then there's obviously some cutscenes, but this is much more, yeah, dialogue and choice driven. So I would say that would probably work the best. How you would do the story, I don't know. Would you do it as like a different adaptation? Would you change some stuff? I'm not sure, but yeah, a Telltale Games style I think would work the best, which is, well, not really third person, but it's not, certainly not first person. So, because you could say, okay, what about if like Rockstar made one, but then Rockstar does things like Red Dead and GTA, which are more of the third person action style, and you couldn't really do like an open world Breaking Bad game. That wouldn't quite make sense unless it's something where you're in the car or the RV as Jesse and Walt, and you get out and you have to drive to a location to make a deal, but then they don't really do that in the show. So like you don't see them driving from street corners, like they don't do, this isn't that would suit more of The Wire, I think, if it was more sort of street corner stuff, like you driving around the streets literally like you kind of do in GTA. It's much more sort of enclosed than that. Anyway, what would you do for like a Breaking Bad game?
I mean, I should point out that there is a Breaking Bad mobile game called Criminal Elements, apparently. Just
Right.
the but I mean, not you know, if you're talking an actual game rather than a sort of pay to play mobile. I think for me, the obvious way to go, I mean, yes, you could do a sort of GTA style thing, but the problem with that is you are then either have to insert yourself as a character. It's either got to be set in sort of an alternate universe where you're playing a version of Walt or Jesse or both of them, or you know, and you're playing it out as your own story, and it's a story-driven thing. To me, the more obvious way to do it would be some sort of strategy game where you're cooking the blue meth and distributing it, and it ends up being a sort of drug empire strategy game where you've got to sort of take over the world. It's th that would be probably the thing that I would suggest will be working reasonably well. I mean, there are video games that do, you know, those sort of strategy video games where that are about drug dealing, where you can you sort of setting up drug empires and that sort of stuff. I mean, they going from sort of modern drug cartel stuff back to your kind of, you know, 1920s mobsters. So I think there is something in there that you could do some sort of strategy game based around it, maybe. You know, building strategy game, that sort of thing. You know, you start out cooking in an RV, and then you kind of you've got to build up to get a super lab, and you know, I think there is something in that in terms of the game. So the GTA thing, I think, would be possible, but I think it would also feel like it would, if you can't put Rockstar's sort of money into it, it could potentially end up being just feeling like a bit of a cheap rip-off, and you know.
Caroline writes in and says, I feel very, very sorry for Hank. His job is incredibly hard and his ambition is satisfying to watch, but with everything so far in season three, especially it being his brother-in-law, is just great. Yeah, I've come away with a bit of a, not a different view of Hank. Although I think I remember the first time I watched it, I kind of viewed, I don't know why this was, and again, this was like nearly 10 years ago because I watched it in 2014, and I was, you know, a different person, I suppose. I remember when I was first watching Breaking Bad, and I just wanted Hank to sort of get out of the way because I was obviously I didn't know what happened, what turn Heisenberg turns into, and all that sort of thing. But I just wanted, okay, Hank needs to get... I think I remember my thought process being Hank needs to get out of the way so that Walt can get his money, so that he can give it to his family and it can all work out well. Obviously, that idea was a bit more hopeful. That was a bit more of a hopeful view of the show, maybe. But I didn't view him as a villain, per se, just somebody that was in the way of Walt. But now that I'm going through it now, obviously with prior knowledge, it's like, okay, you do still want him to somewhat get out of the way, because you do want Walt to... Whether or not you want Walt to succeed as a person, but you still want the White family, like, you know, you've got Walt Jr. and you've got is it Holly, the baby daughter? You want them to have a good future, but there's a chain of events in the way of that, because Hank is unknowingly getting in the way of Walt getting, like, whether or not you like Skylar or whatever. I'm thinking of the you know, the children here of Walt Jr. and or Flynn. Although in this episode he's going by Walt Jr. at the moment, but Walt Jr. and Holly. See, that's where the good part of Heisenberg still kind of stands out, because although his motives do change later on in the series, the idea from the start of, okay, I want to be a good guy and do a good thing, but I have to do a bad thing to do the good thing. I want to get my family more money because I'm not going to be here forever because of this thing that's happened to me. So I have this knowledge to do a bad thing to try to do a good thing, which is where the grey area thing comes in. It makes it so interesting. Because I happen to know the science because I'm an overqualified science teacher. But then you follow that chain of events. It leads to him working with Jesse, which gets Hank in the way. And then Hank is completely unknowingly in the way of Holly and Walt Jr. getting the money that they need. Again, whether or not you like Skylar or you want her to have money, I don't think is it. Again, that's almost more of a, like, a different type of block to Hank, because obviously Skylar knows about it now, and she's sort of conflicted about what to do, and she's being advised of what to do, and it's such an interesting mess of these characters that are sort of unknowingly in the way of each other, who are trying to do a good thing but have to do a bad thing, which has caused the person to try to get in the way of the thing. It's what makes Breaking Bad so complicated and interesting to me. But then, let's say even if in this episode Walt steps out of the RV and flat out explains everything of hey, you care about Walt Jr., don't you? You care about Holly. I need to do this thing, which means you need to get away from the RV and this and that. But then Hank would probably pause and then maybe say, you know, okay, I understand you want to support your kids. He would be obviously supportive of that, but you can't do this blue crystal thing. And that's the main reason Hank's even going after Jesse, which happens to also involve Walt. So yeah, there's a lot there kind of going on, I suppose. Because to me, it is kind of more about, okay, whether you like Walt or you like Skylar, it's sort of about the kids who have got some of the lesser screen time in the whole show. So there you go. But what do you think of, I guess, all of that and Hank's involvement, I suppose?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Hank is... The problem is, Hank is just a guy trying to do his job. Yeah. You know? He's a DEA agent. He's supposed to be trying to stop the drug trade. You know, when he is going after the people that are making it or trying to, he has no idea what's involved. I think I remember when I was watching it first time around, you are a bit like, I kind of get where Hank's coming from, but he is a bit of a bullshy kind of character, and you're sort of, yeah, you just sort of wonder. I don't know. You kind of are sort of rooting to Walt up to a point, you know, because he is kind of the anti-hero of this story. I mean, but he then kind of one stage turns into pure villain and then sort of slightly redeems himself towards the end a little bit. But it, yeah, it's an interesting one with Hank. It's like, yeah, I get where he's coming from. He's trying to do his job. So,
yeah, I mean, because you know, you look at how things have gone and people have died, and like Walt didn't want anybody to die. And no. I mean, because when you look at season one, Walt, who just wants to do a bad thing, but sort of innocently, because it's not like he's trying to join one of the gangs and like shoot people, or he's just trying to he'll sell some stuff which is going to be sold anyway, and then get his money and get out. But then it's how things change after that. So, but no, on yeah, I'm kind of with Caroline here on the. I think this is my third time through. Of you do feel more sorry for Hank because he's trying to do this one thing and things just keep happening to him. Like the head explosion thing and a whole bunch of other stuff, and people like keep moaning at him to do something else when he's so dedicated to get this one thing. And yeah, so there we go. All right, so what we've got for you for this episode. Episode 7 is next, of course, so we will do that one next time. Thank you all very much for listening. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, main night podcasts. Take a look at what we do. Still stuff to come. Doing some other film reviews, watching some shows for some other podcasts. Main night are back on Saturday. I think the Carabao Cup also starts soon, so that'll be added to that. Hopefully we can retain that this year. That would be quite good. But yeah, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk, TV, games, films, main night podcasts. Remember, classic reviews back later this year. But if you don't want to wait around for season 6, there is 5+1 bonus season that you can listen to. So if you're intrigued by the idea of me reviewing and watching like old classic stuff, because apparently I'm still a young person, and there's things that came out before my time, and the whole idea of the series is for me to go back to those older things and watch them and review them. So if you like that idea, there's already a bunch of episodes for them, so you can check that out before season 6 gets here, which is sort of the idea of why I put season 6 a bit later as well. So go and check that out. Word of mouth, social media, listen to more episodes, support us in whatever way you choose to do so. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options, look at that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio, Tuesdays, geektown.co.uk. David, that's run by you. What is going on over there?
We've got lots of news and air dates and stuff going up. We are sort of coming into the time of year when stuff starts to reappear usually, but of course with all the strikes going on, things are a bit all over the place, so some things are coming back, some things aren't. So you can catch up on all that sort of stuff over on geektown.co.uk. There is also Geek Town Radio, which you were on this week actually, and we talked about the movie Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves, the Invincible Atom Eve Foundation, the TV show. We talked a little bit about that. Dave the Diver, the video game. We were talking about that on there as well. We talked a bit about The Last of Us, Jack Ryan, a bunch of news, some stuff about the strikes as well, some update on that. So that's episode 393 of Geek Town Radio. You can find that on geektown.co.uk or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool. Creeping up on episode 400 there.
Yes, yeah. We are.
Very, very soon.
Apparently.
But yeah, I talked about Last of Us this week. Shocking, I know. You can go and listen to that over on that, of course, geektown.co.uk, Geek Town Radio. Bex, you can find her on lots of different places. Trista, B-Y-T-E-S, mainly Twitch is her sort of platform. So go and support what she's doing. Trista, B-Y-T-E-S, Trista Bytes. Me over on eTalk UK for Twitch, and YouTube is Entertainment Talk Plays. I've put a few other bits of random clips and stuff like that. I've still got so many clips to go and upload, but one day I will put those up there. But if you're interested in like random Call of Duty stuff and just when something happens in a game and I make a clip of it or whatever, so check that out. YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. For that, thanks very much for listening, and we will catch you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.